جزاكم الله خيرا، آمين يا رب العالمين. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. الحمد لله والتفضل and the كرم of الله سبحانه وتعالى. Allah has blessed us and enabled us to share and discuss the lives of the greatest of people. Imagine, subhanallah, those who Allah has chosen, Allah has selected
to be the companions of His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be of those whom are the greatest after Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. But imagine, this is a man who was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was nicknamed the beloved. The beloved of whom? The beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how special. His son was known as the beloved, the son of the beloved.
He was unfortunately enslaved. But when we study his life, we realize that subhanallah, sometimes what outwardly seems to be a misfortune becomes the greatest means of success, nobility, honor. Subhanallah. This young man, he was a little boy with his mother traveling to his grandfather's place, mother's father, mother's mother. And en route, they were attacked by one of the tribes, and most of them were enslaved. And then he was then also enslaved as a little boy and then sold in the marketplace of slaves. So he was sold as a slave, but his origin was from a noble Arab tribe. He comes from the Banu Kalb clan. And subhanallah, in that he was purchased at an exorbitant rate because he was such a handsome, noble boy. Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu purchased him for 400 dirhams in the bazaar of Uqqaz, one of the famous Arab bazaars in Jahiliyyah. And they would have this marketplace in the sacred months, and they used to purchase and sell and buy in that marketplace. Hakim bin Hizam paid an exorbitant rate for him because he was of so much of value. And he wanted to give this young man as a gift to his aunt who he revered and respected so much. Subhanallah. So a noble boy who comes from a noble upbringing, he now was enslaved, separated from his mother, separated from his father. Subhanallah, his father was saddened, bitterly saddened by this loss. He didn't know the plight of his son. Here his son is being sold in the marketplace, and his father is hunting for him everywhere, traveling here and there. His father was none other than Haritha. And who was the son? Subhanallah, subhanallah. We'll mention to you. He's one sahabi, subhanallah, who Allah explicitly takes his name in the Quran, subhanallah. There is another sahabi who's mentioned explicitly in the Quran Kareem, who is a Nabi of Allah as well, but he returns to be among this ummah as a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an ummati, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first being Zayd radiyallahu anhu. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجَنَاكَهَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. And Allah Ta'ala mentions Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met him on the night of Mi'raj, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asked Allah to come as a follower of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised to the heavens alive, and he will descend as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he comes on comes before the times of judgment day as a sign of qiyamah. And it will be a time where the ummah will be in great turmoil. The ummah will be under Hazrat Mahdi achieving so much of amazing traits, where the ummah would be succeeding, but in that Dajjal would be unleashed and the ummah would suffer severe and great trials, where the Dajjal would be traveling the entire world in exhorting people and enticing them to forsake the iman. And our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed these sentiments of what Dajjal would do and how he would come to the people and how he would remove the difficulties of those who emulate him and those who follow him and those who accept him as deity. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed this in so many ahadith, that even in Sahih Muslim and in the Sunan Ibn Majah and Sunan Abu Dawood and so forth, in so many of these kitabs,
It's clear, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Dajjal would have the shayateen with him, enticing people to forsake their iman. In Sunan Ibn Majah, he even exhorts a person and then commands two of the jinn to take the form of the lost parents of this person. And these two images who he thinks are his parents and are exhorting him, that this is your Lord, we've died before you, we've returned to show you the truth. This is how severe would this test be. And finally, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a mu'min, this is in Sahih Muslim and Sunan Ibn Majah, who would finally go to Dajjal and he would be halted by the guards. And then the one guard wants to kill him because he speaks disrespectfully concerning Dajjal, and rightfully so, that he's an imposter and he's lying to you all. The other guard says, don't you remember what the Lord exhorted us? They don't kill any. Dajjal doesn't want anyone just to die like that or be killed, because he wants people to forsake their iman. He don't want them, doesn't want them to die honorably with their iman. Anyway, he's now escorted. And now he says to Dajjal that you are lying to the people. The Dajjal tries to convince him that I am the Lord. And then because there's, it seems to be a huge crowd and trying to utilize these opportunities to entice the people incorrectly, he then severs him in half and his two body parts are separated to a distance where an archer shoots his target. So quite a distance. And Dajjal walks in between his two body parts. And then everyone is shocked at this when Dajjal then puts him together. This is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone is now astonished, astounded, dumbfounded, dumbstruck, amazed. But this mu'min, subhanallah, what iman. He exhorts the community and encourages them to protect their iman and to remain firm on deen and a'mal and correct aqidah. That this man was supposed to do that. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold us that he'll do this. But don't worry, he won't be able to do it again. And when Dajjal sees that this mu'min, the way he's giving da'wat and exhorting people and trying to protect their iman and communicating with them, he now gets infuriated and he now really tries to sever him and kill him. And he tries to sever him by the neck. But Allah transforms it into copper and metal. And now he's not managing. Dajjal is not managing to cut through his neck. And the mu'min lives. And then Dajjal flings him into what outwardly seems to be a fire. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that will lead you to Jannah. So this is a severe test. Allah Ta'ala, help us. But in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send, subhanallah, as a follower of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none other than Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. The believers will be about to pray. The adhan, the iqamah would have just got finished. And subhanallah, at the time of Fajr, Allah make it that you and I are there for Fajr every day. Imagine we miss our Fajr. How much of khayr we lose out? How much of blessings we lose out in our lives? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam descends. Subhanallah. And the salah is about to be performed. He descends on the wings of two angels. I would love you all to find this hadith. Hadith number 1808 in Riyadus Salihin. I'm sure most of you have this kitab in your home, in the shelf. Don't let it collect dust. Open this kitab. Towards the end of the kitab is this beautiful hadith of Hazrat Nawas ibn Sim'an and also Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. And there's an amazing subhanallah question by Hazrat Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha. We just discussed her life, how she used to advocate Islam, how she used to go to the different mushrikeen of Makkah, to the women folk, and she used to exhort them to embrace Islam. Hazrat Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha, Ghaziya radiallahu anha. And she posed this question, amazing question to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning Dajjal. And subhanallah, we find that Sahaba, because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this fitna, he said that Dajjal would travel the whole world and it would take a year for a day to pass. Meaning one day would be like a year, and then the next day would be like a month, and then the next day would be like a week, and like that, finally, when the days follow its normal sequence. Look at Sahaba's worry and concern. Allah give us worry for what is important. We worried about everything else that's only worldly inclined. What about worrying about our purpose and our goal? Sahaba's worry was, that day that takes a year to go by, oh Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will we perform our salah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, but imagine, it's Sahaba.
Imagine their temperament. Imagine their worry. Imagine their concern. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed that you estimate the hours, and how long it takes for the salah to come in. That's when you will perform your salahs. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah causes amazing things to happen that probes the curiosity of people. Subhanallah. That's why making deen available to people is so pertinent. Just this morning we went with an alim. He arrived from Bangladesh. He was in our masjid. And then we just saw him and I said, come, we go for some coffee. And in that he's running a beautiful, huge madrasa there. So I was just getting some coffee and talking to the non-Muslims. And then as we were returning, we saw so many of our local Zulu people, community, comrades. And they were waiting in their queues. And in few minutes, we just explained the beauty of Islam. And their reaction and their approachability was so soft, polite, caring, loving. And then I was saying to Maulana, you see how beautifully people react. They want to know. You tell them about the oneness of Allah and a few words in their language about the greatness of Allah and how Islam is for everyone. You explain to them who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I asked my friend, you see, if we ask them who is Isa alayhi salam, they all know. Even though the information they got is incorrect because they got it mainly from the missionaries. But something they know. Ask them about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they know not. Most of them don't even know the meaning of the adhan, even though all of them have heard the adhan. Up to today, for the last few years, we're explaining to them the meaning of the adhan. I haven't come across a non-Muslim who knows what it means. So much is needed for us to make an effort and exhort them and express this to them and explain to them. So after we finished, I was explaining to him that you see, alhamdulillah, we show people character. We interact with them honestly and we should be doing so. And that's what the encouragement we have to give our brothers. Allah make it easy for our brothers who come from foreign. They're going through a difficulty, a lot of scrutiny, some such situations where they did wrong, other situations they are wronged. But all of this is a learning curve that we have to show akhlaq, we have to make sure our goods are intact, we have to make sure we don't harm anyone. So akhlaq is imperative, necessary. Interaction with people, our dealings has to be transparent and honest. But that, our dealings and our du'as, is watering the ground. But putting the seed in the ground is really pertinent and necessary. And the seed is that basic message of Islam. What is the crux of Islam? The oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. And subhanallah, who is our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Expressing this to humanity, this is really, really pertinent. And how Islam is for everyone. What does the adhan mean? Basic beliefs in Islam. And then you leave them to think. And then they must also know that they can also become Muslim if they want to, but it's their choice. But we exhort them and how this will become their salvation. Give them message. And then it might take time for it to sink down. It might take time for them to digest it. But once we sowed the seed, every time they dealt with fairly, they interacted with kindly, they see the akhlaq of the Muslims, or they see some sign or some happening in their life, some accident, some catastrophe, some blessing, it could remind them that, you know, this is the Almighty. And every time they hear the adhan, they remembered of the dawah you gave them. So that is like watering the seed. So many a time we're putting water, but we didn't even put the seed. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to give the correct analysis. But putting the seed is pertinent, and that is what is needed. And he was also so amazed that every person reacted so politely, wanting to know the truth. Allah give us tawfiq.